Yeah, the, what do you have to do? I just see, you know, I'm reading through, I finished Deuteronomy, I'm reading through Joshua, and, you know, nothing much has changed. You know, there's an enemy, it's very real. You have to fight a good fight.
Yeah.
You know, faith in the Old Testament is not much different than faith in the New.
Good.
So, you know, when you read and, you know, okay, go and kill every living thing. Man, I better have faith to do that. You know? Well, how about kill every enemy that is in your life? Because it's a spiritual enemy, you know. And what does God talk about? He talks about, you've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. You've been made victorious, how? By the blood of Jesus Christ. Now don't forget that. Now hold on, you're getting stronger every day. And how? Faith. Faith is the vehicle that God has chosen for us to walk in. Well, I can't see it, feel it, touch it. Well, I guess I don't make a good Jew. Because that's what the Jews have told me, that they want to see, feel, and touch. But when you read Deuteronomy or Joshua, and you're coming into the same faith that Moses was told, and then Moses told Joshua, they had to walk in faith, believing. Not much different than for us today, because there's a battle, and it's real. And you're the target. So what do you do? Resist the devil and he shall flee from you? Boy, that's pretty real. I know I've been under attack for the last couple of months. I feel like just today or last night coming out of it. You know, and just realizing the enemies. It's like the old, that old Pac-Man, I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, he's like, Pac-Man is trying to eat your...
Right on your heel.
Right on your heel. Yeah. Trying to eat your heel.
Yeah.
And, yeah, really. A little heel. You know, I was reading this morning, the Daily Bread, and the Divine Diversion was the title of it. And as I was reading it, it was really good. And if you looked at Acts chapter 16, and it goes from 6 to 10. But I'm going to read this. It can't be.
You ever heard your last thing first?
Okay. All right.
And I know it's the first time, too, right?
It's not
normal.
Oh,
I'm sorry for interrupting. I just wanted to tell him what his order had.
Okay, I'm still waiting for my two. We're patient.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, wait for the chicken to lay the egg.
The chicken! All right.
Let me take the second.
It can be difficult when we're told no or not now, especially when we sense God has opened his door for us to serve others. Early in my ministry, two opportunities came by. I came by ways where I thought my gifts and skills matched the church's needs, but both doors eventually closed after these two disappointments. Another position came along, and I was selected with that ministry call came 13 years of life-touching pastoral labor. Twice in Acts 16, Paul and company were redirected by God. First, they were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And then, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter another town. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. Unknown to them, God had other plans that would be right for his work the workers, his no to the previous plans, but then in his position to listen and to be accompanied laid by. Who among us have agreed what was initially thought to be a painful loss? We felt wounded when we didn't get a certain job, when we served opportunities didn't materialize, when a relationship got derailed. Though some things can monetarily be wavy, time often reveals that such detours are actually divine diversions that God graciously used to get us where He wants us, and we are grateful. And it says, Father, I praise you that in your wisdom, you know how to best arrange my life. Thank you for protecting me through your detours. And I don't know about you, many of us have gone through detours in our lives, and we wonder, you know, what, where, why, you know, what's going on. I mean, I just went through a detour, and it detoured me right into a catastrophe and a loss. But it detoured me right into housing, doing some stuff over there, and even going there, but it was hard because, you know, physically and stuff that's going on in my body and my mind and whatever, it's been hard. And but everybody say but thank God. Last week I was interviewed, and I'm sorry. last week I was interviewed. They said, "Well, why are you here? Well, I mean, why are you wanting to do this?" And I said, "Well, first of all, I don't want to come here. But I didn't really have the intention to come here. But I had two individuals that stayed on my butt and kept saying, you gotta try that, you know, you gotta go check it out, you know, and you know." And I said, all right, let me do it, you know. And so I went, and it, for me, it was good. You know, for me, it was good because, you know, it to me, spiritually, it regenerated me. You know, so I'm excited. I'm excited. You know, do you get excited when other people are excited? I mean, when you're around people that are excited for the Word of God, thank you. It becomes contagious. When you're among people that are, they just can't wait to get up early in the morning and come to breakfast or to be a part of what God is doing, you know, not what man is doing, but what God is doing. To me, that's exciting. And unfortunately, I have gone through my time that I haven't had, you know, where have all the flowers gone? You know that was called? Where does it go? Where did it went? You know, where did the zeal go? Where did the love go? Where did the whatever go? But it's there. And in this article here, in the scripture that talks about, you know, diversion. And sometimes God will give us a diversion in order for to help us out. And there's another thing about taking time and you know, getting away. And even if you have to isolate yourself but just get in peace and joy. And because there's so much stuff going on, you know, whether it's our marriages, our finances, our health, all this stuff is going on, and if we don't take time, and you know, we know that, we could preach it all day long, but do we do it?
Yeah. I don't know how many guys here played football, younger or whatever, but there's a play called a diversion play.
Yeah.
What it is, it makes the defense look over here, because that's where everything's going on, while you're running the touchdown over here. And God does that to us sometimes. He gets our attention over there, why he's slipping something under, you know, right in front of our nose, and we're like, we would have never seen it if he didn't cause that distraction.
Yep.
Whether it be your air condition breaking, your heel getting broke, you know, a flat tire, running out of gas, whatever. You know, I've learned that when something happens, okay, God, what do you want out of this? You know what I mean? What am I supposed to do? And that's God's diversion play.
How many people have passed?
You say tomato, I say.
You know, that, when I was at the center up there before I closed, I started a wall of other people that died.
Oh, yeah.
Through ministry, that have been involved for the day one. I said, oh, my God, all these people.
Yeah. The last church I went to, Christian Service Center, they had this big wall, and the kids that had a school, they took, what do you call that? Construction paper. They cut out, made these big giant clouds. When people had passed, we put the pictures in this cloud. It was called the Great Cloud of Witnesses. Yeah. It was really neat.
Well, that's what you got to say. You got that they're in heaven because of this ministry.
Yeah.
I mean, Andy and everybody. And well, I'm saying that because Andy, I was so flat broke in England. Andy was always my breakfast, right, Frank? Anyway, and he'd take him over here a little bit. And he said, and he was so real, but when he prayed, geez, I'm not crying now, but you're talking about, I mean, it was just right or wrong. When you ask Andy, you know what I'm talking about. And when Andy would pray, I was, whew, I mean, he knew Jesus. I mean, he knew Jesus. So I was just thinking of different people trying to remember their names.
I remember Andy, when I first started the first little church, and I didn't know, how do I do a church or whatever, never, you know. So it was the Salvation Army down the south side, because they had a little chapel there. They all used it for storage. So, hey, can we use this? Yeah, because we were already there. And I remember one of the first services that we had, you know, what's the protocol, who knows, you know, what do you want this? And Andy was doing the sound. And this guy, I was doing whatever I was doing up there. Some guy says,
he was a big guy, and he was big.
He says, can I sing? I says, who is this dude, man? Can I sing?
I don't know,
Kenya.
It was an Andre moment.
It was an Andre moment, right? And I says, what's the problem? I was looking at Andy. Well, what are you doing? Oh. I don't know. They don't sing, I guess.
You know?
It was a ragtag bunch of guys over there.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And this guy got up and started singing. Boy, you knew that you were in the presence of an angel there, buddy. And the Spirit of God just flowed in there. People are crying, man.
Sing just like Jim Neighbors.
I said, oh, my God.
Didn't look like that.
I didn't think that would come out of you. Never seen him before, never seen him after.
Wow.
You know, and it was that day, now this stuff that I've never done in my life. You know, again, I'm always new way back then. And all of a sudden, man, we break out in a hallelujah. I started running around the church, and we started a conga line.
Fire!
And it was exciting, man.
Jesus.
You know, it's exciting when you don't know what you're doing.
It's amazing when you can leave it in the hands of God.
Yeah, it is.
And it's not often seen anymore.
It was just so good, you know, testimony. The other thing about Andy, that he did my sound.
That's it.
Okay. And we changed, you know, click so you can change the word, right? So we're playing a song, and they have to click. But Andy was in the back on the soundboard.
Thank you very much.
Click. Andy, click. But the song got to him, and he was in the soundboard.
Oh yes, and he was
crying like a baby, man.
Andy was good, bro.
I said, I guess that ain't gonna be his job. We gotta find somebody else to do the clicking.
He'd be lost.
Yeah, he lost it right there, man. We have, you know, if I look throughout all the years, man, you know, all the great testimonies that we all have had it within our own ministry and that we came across. We have some great, crazy guys, isn't it?
Yep.
It was so much fun.
We were some of them.
Yeah, I know, we were some of them.
I forget, and that's what, where you come in and say, Phil, you're going to have eternity with him. You just met him for a short time. See, and I grieve that my brother, we had the band of brothers. And how long ago was Clark? I mean, it was just nuts on Thursdays. Oh, here we go. Round two, demons won. How many times did Clark get thrown out of there? Don't ever come back. And then he'd be back here next to me. And I want to put my perspective that I do what's righteous to see my brothers again. To see that the devil doesn't win by somebody, you know, we got the scripture, but as I'm older now, I'm sitting and I grieve. I thought, yeah, I grieve for him. I mean, I'm just like, man, I'm worried about him. I don't know why, it's an intercession or something. But when they pass a new role, I'm talking about, I'm a brain thing here. I mean, I miss him terrible. I said, I can't go by there and say that. And there is a little loss. And if something happened to you, it'd be a tremendous loss if something happened. But you have to say, wait a minute, Satan. You know, I'm going to have an eternity. And some of the stuff is not so I'm a perfect person, I fit in or anything. But and I do love God, but also say, hey, you know what? How much do you love Sam? Do it for Sam or whatever it is. Do it, you know, correct him. And so don't, I have to not lose the perspective of eternity in heaven with everybody I love. Because as you fade in the world, and my gosh, you're going to take my house. I almost lost my house last year for $900. I thought, this is ridiculous. What's going on here? And all the cares of the world, and that's what cuts out the word, isn't it? The deceitfulness of lust, the deceitfulness of riches, I'm going to be saying, the lust of the eyes, flesh on it, but the cares of this world. And I know you guys have almost got overwhelmed, but you still stay faithful. And a good question would be, why are you faithful? Why are you faithful? See, I've been alone for 39 years now. I've had everything, gone everywhere, done that, done this. I said, now, I'm changing my heart to say, I'm faithful because I'm going to spend eternity with Sam. Because I love Sam. We've been bounced heads. I'm growing to know Mahomes. We've been hanging out since the Safety Diner. What was that, 27 years ago? I'm just now getting to know him. What's your wife's name? How long have you been married? How did you get saved? What's that? There's an intimacy that when you lose that intimacy, you're selfish. And I could go off, because I do study sociology, and I could go off what a sociopath is. They have no regards for human beings. Sociopath, they kill them. They have no regard for any kind of lawlessness. And it's the son of lawlessness, and isn't he more than he's ever been? And so I'm saying, hey, I cannot defeat the son of lawlessness by my own efforts under 47 years. I can't defeat the son of lawlessness, the father of lawlessness, you know, talking in tongues all day long. The only way I can defeat him is that I love God and I love Sam. And I want to spend eternity, I want to spend eternity with Mark. Because you are my brothers, and you've had all this stuff. Now, I've gone through tremendous different healing. Mother died, this died, that died. So at this very moment, it's like, Phil, I want to confess. Because every time, and I said it to Mark, every time I start to stop, and I thought, I'm not a smoker. I smoked one cigarette this week. I'm not a smoker. But I said to Mark, every time I start, I said, I'm not going to have another one. I'm just going to stop doing it. Now, I have tremendous disciplines. I can set my arm on fire. But I cannot defeat sin. See it? And I said, every time, I said, I'm not going to have one more cigarette. I'll sew my lips up. I'll get in my car if I smoke a cigarette. Hey, got a pack of cigarettes for you. Is it that I love the cigarettes, or is I love the fellowship? See, and Sam said something, and I need counseling. I really do. I'm calling out, just like with Linda. I don't have it, but I'm calling out. I said, but I love these guys at the Haven. They've been my friends for 4 years. They do everything down there. They said, and somebody said, well, that's not good for you. I said, well, didn't Jesus die? Was that good for him? He wasn't comfortable. I said, hey, I wanted compassion. I wanted love. I got it. But you want to know something now? The revelation that I have right this moment is Jesus asked his Father, Father, what do you want me to do? It isn't healthy for you. And they call me now, it's the 4th of July, and say, hey, remember how much fun we had? I didn't have fun, you guys had fun. They're caught, the cords of sin will come around. It isn't, do I want to do crack cocaine? Do I need a crack whore? I'm being real here, dudes. But it's creeping up. And I said, how do I do it? I said, because then you talk to Sam and say, where are you going to church? So that you make a commitment to Sam. So you be there at church so you're not wandering around. My money says, hey, you starting to feel you want to go back, whatever. Then you call me up. And after bed, you don't have any accountability. Are you following on that and stuff? But because I love you, say, hey, you know, you could be separated. Like, I have that decision, 4th of July, which is Thursday. See? And it's you can't, I love them and I want to see them and the people are dying and going through stuff. So my normal nature was wanting to go and help them. Well, you don't do that.
What you need to do is go Sunday to Sam's cookout at the Gateway. You know,
right.
Did you make that announcement?
Yes. He did. Yeah. Well, I am.
And get
Here's the thing, you know, that unfortunately what happens, you know, look, for example, a band of brothers.
Right.
You know, you don't hear about a band of brothers when they're in they're about God's business. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, this is good, but it's not good enough. That's why I'm glad I went over there. Because we got to be about our Father's business. What are we doing? You know, everybody's doing something individually. But you know what? When we, last year, the year before that, when we all got together and went and did that homeless shelter, the COVID-19 shelter, that was awesome. You know, because those are relational aspects and memories that we develop. And we need that. You know, people go to church and they know people.
Hey, what's up, baby?
After church service gone, boom, everybody's gone.
Yeah.
Where's the relationship? Where's the fellowship? You know, the party for Lori was awesome. You know, you're an awesome person. I won't tell you that to
my woman.
But you
know,
it is because you know what did Elsie do? He had a variety of people there. He had some of his business people, some of his relational people, some of the people that you know. So you know, we all had these different things that we should, but he's blessed that way. But you know what, if we're not about our Father's business, like for example, we're talking about doing something 2020. And you know, that's a memorable moment. I mean, we sit down, every time we sit down with Art, and some of the other people that remember that trip, they all they do is just smile and they laugh and because we had so much fun. You know, those are areas of ministry that we have. You know,
you've been there enough weeks now, and you see how many times a week we have church.
Oh yeah, it's awesome, and it's great. But you know what? Loneliness is a killer. Loneliness. You can be around in a house. What's that song? Old Motown song.
People one is the loneliest number. 11
or and that other one, that, you know, he's the loneliest person among the crowd. You know, because you could be in a crowd, and you could be around a lot of people, But still, there's loneliness because there's no relationship. And God didn't make it that way. And when God chose 12 guys, and he ate, slept, you know, worked with them, did everything with them, and they were sitting around up in heaven or whatever we should be up there now, and talk about, you know, remember that crazy guy over there, he had that demon and all, he is cast that mail. There's those testimonies of when you and Tommy and were painting the house or you know, just those are the things that you take with you.
You and I, you were a 7-year-old homeless boy in Berkeley.
Yeah, I mean, that was spontaneous. When you're spontaneous, for the things of God, that, you know, like that day, I ran across this little kid, it was his birthday, and didn't have no gift, his father had no money, and what did I do? The first person I called, Elgie, we got a job to do. And I told him about it. And, okay, come give me. So, you know, praise God, we had toys at the center, we had cake, and we took it over. Elgie and I, we got that, he's got that picture. I gave you that big picture, man. And where the little boy, you should see his face. Oh my God, you know, just that present. Oh no, the cake or something, and we gave the father the present.
It wasn't from us. We gave the father the stuff to give to the son.
And see, those are the things that you take with you. And when we're not about our father's business, I mean, we don't have those relational aspects that, you know, that we could talk about, that we did this and we did that, you know. Forever, I won't forget about Andre falling in the...
What?
Almost falling in.
Andre did a boo-boo?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't fall, but my hand did.
Yeah, okay. Oh.
We bought. She knocked me.
She bounced right back up.
Yeah. I can get a history on this guy.
But see, you know what? To me, that is awesome because you're working together. And then here's the deal, you know, you talk about mega churches and all that. That's good. There's a purpose when they have small groups. When you have a small group, man, hey man, you know, you guys get together, you guys eat, fellowship, and every year, I've never done to it, but you guys have the big cookout at your house. You invite 500,000.
Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah, you do that every year. And so, but the Word of God is all about relationship. You know, you can come and pontificate about the Word all you want. You can go book, chapter, verse, this and that. That's wonderful. Okay, so what are you doing with it? You know, you're not going to take...
Share the word.
That's what we're talking about, being doers of the word. Working together, doing something. See, I know I could call it a skinny minute. And Elzy, and let's go do... hey, we got this thing, there's an opportunity to finish. Because I have that relationship with him. You know? And so, and I know that he's a minute man. And that's what it's about. We become so introverted. Oh, we come together, we go to church, hey, come with that, blah, 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 like that.
I'm in the life.
But that's it, man. Where's the rest of the story? You go to church, man, service is over 10 minutes, and you go out and talk to God, everybody's gone.
We'll never populate heaven unless we're willing to plunder hell.
That's right. Go ahead.
You know, I think back to the Band of Brothers, since you mentioned that earlier, when we were over on I noticed a big difference. It wasn't when I was speaking every week or whatever with the guys. We all, and I don't know if you made it or not, you might have. I know you had to do something. But we decided as a group, just go to the movies. Bill Wishmeyer and all the Andy, all of So we all went and watch a movie. You know, I cannot tell you what movie we went to, but I remember that.
It was Jumbo.
I remember that because afterwards, everyone's attitude with each other changed. And it became just like the name of the Band of Brothers. And it, you don't have to do something super spiritual.
I guarantee
just go with someone and spend a day with them if it's something else. But this was a group.
And, it makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. And as tight as we are here at this table, I guarantee you the men that sign up to go on that bus to Houston will have more camaraderie than they ever had before.
But we're not changing clothes, changing them like we got with my shirt.
When we went to D.C., standing together, and we rented a Greyhound, whatever it was. And it was packed. Actually, we overpacked it. One guy had to stay behind because we had too many people.
The best thing.
And everybody in the bus said, no. He's coming. So we took
him. Toilet?
No, that's the next door there. And we all took turns sitting on a cooler. So that way, the guy came. But the biggest moment I always remember is there was a problem with the toilet over in the bus. You only can do number one, don't do number two. And so the question was, praise the Lord, that I was sitting in the front. Don't do number two, guys. Just number one back there because it's messed up, right? So this guy, somebody went in there and did number two. Well, it wouldn't go nowhere, and it smelled like hell in the back.
You've been to hell?
That was hell there, buddy.
You can't even smell hell.
And this one guy, Puerto Rican guy, his name was John. He was. And there was he had one of those sharp voices.
Oye, esa gente está loco. Esa peta por ahí. ¿Qué pasa con esa gente? Están loco.
Pooped in holy ground.
And he had that sharp, he was just saying, what's up, crazy people? You're not supposed to crap in there. It smells.
Puerto Ricans can really do it too.
And it was funny though. That was the only thing. I'm glad I went back. Stupid.
Fond memory.
Half the bus was.
That was funny.
What do you remember about the trip? Jesus, no, that guy pooping in the bag.
Yeah, who was that guy?
Very memorable.
Yeah.
There's always one lawless one,
So nobody got in there with the plastic
who
bag.
Who passed up?
I don't know what they did.
And he wants me to go on the bus.
They could just condemn the bus after that.
Yeah, I didn't go beyond, I'm staying up here,
See, me, I would have got the plastic bag.
That's you, though. I said, where were you? You should have been there.
Is that the bus where those were stuck out there?
This is kind of a joke.
And the interesting part about that bus, we had a priest in there.
You have to want to.
There was a priest that came in. There was a Jewish guy, Messianic Jew. There was a diversity of people in there from different churches and nationalities, and we became like that, And see, that's what the Word of God is all about. If we just come around for a kumbaya party and pontificate about this and that, we are not about our Father's business, then what are we doing? There's an army of people. This guy goes out to the nursing homes and sings to those people and like that. Every individual, should be coming back here on a regular week. So who did you minister to?
He's got somebody that's here.
Go ahead.
No, it's just Gandhi Boulevard. Turns into Park Boulevard.
Yeah.
And south of there's a few United Methodist churches.
Right.
Come Monday morning, they'll have five of those churches will have new pastors.
They have what?
Five of the churches will have new pastors.
Five churches?
Well, they play
they passed that thing in their meeting, what?
Musical chairs, though.
Why?
Musical
pastors. It's time to change pastors every year. This year, a lot of them are in Southern Pinellas County.
Yeah, that's part of their... Wow.
I just want to tell you a little story. I'm involved with Boyd Hill down there, the Pioneer Settlement. Mm-hmm. And they have some summer camps there, and they bring all these black kids in for ministry to just do something out of the ordinary. I'm part of the hayride thing, and So the last group of kids, 17 kids, I felt this unction again, you know, and you know when God is kind of prompting you to do something, I said, give them all a $2 bill. So at the end of the program, I says, okay, kids, line up. I got a present for you. So I whipped out my wallet. I just got $200 worth of $2 bills. And I started whipping out the $2 bills and lining them up, you know, and they were like, is this real? Can I spend it? And they were like 8 and 10 years old. But to me, it was like, make a memory.
Yeah.
What are you doing to make a memory?
Come on.
And you know what? Those kids will not forget that camping thing. Why? Because of 17... Actually, one adult even got online. So 18 people got a $2 bill.
Wow.
And you know, for 36 bucks, right, you made a memory that will never be forgotten.
Amen. Amen. So everybody line up. Andre's got $2 bills.
Andre, before you guys, I know you gotta go.
Yeah,
Andre, let's, guys, the word is, make a memory.
Amen.
And we come back with those memories.
The ins and outs.
Right, close.